We've been talking, of course, about Hilchos Tefila a lot. We've been learning about Hilchos Tefila, and I mentioned the other day a little bit, balancing between Torah and Tefila. I'm going to talk about different personalities, and the Torah personalities and the Tefila personalities. Now, in the world we live in, there's the arts and then the sciences. The arts are the people who are usually more creative, artistic, musical. Sometimes their personality could be a little bit looser, more relaxed, more flexible, maybe less organized. And you have those who are more scientific, more organized, structured, perhaps more rigid. And this comes up in every area of life, the different subjects. There's the maths and the sciences, which are all very exact, and there's, you know, equations, and then there's the world of the arts. And within each of these subjects, even within the sciences, there's the science of the science and there's the art of the science. What that means is that math, there's the rules of math, and then there's a problem solving, which requires some creative thinking to figure out how to apply the rules. The world of art, I remember when I was younger, I took some art classes a little bit, and there's science of art. You know, I remember learning how to make a picture of an apple. So, you know, you make circles and you make a triangle. And as you turn those shapes into an art, you kind of erase the edges so it doesn't look so formal, so precise. But there's science of art. And then there are those people who could just make a nice apple without having to follow, like, you know, be so rigid. Just you kind of sketch something and you have a beautiful picture. Music, of course, which is the arts. There's the science of music and there's the art of music. You know, my kids are musical. I have two kids who are very, very musical. My oldest daughter, she's in seminary for the year now. She could play very complex pieces. She has the science of the music. She could read very, very well the music. My son, who's in ninth grade, he can't read very well the music, but he could write. He composes songs. He has a very creative mind when it comes to music. So it's always the creativity versus the science of every area of life. When it comes to Torah, so broadly speaking, you have the science, which is the Torah, which are the rules, which are the equations. And then there's the tefillah, which is the creativity, the emotions, different parts of the brain, different parts of Yiddishkeit. And tefillah, Rabbi Nachman writes in the beginning of Likutei Maran, that a chazan who leads the tzibur, he's called the chazan because chazan is a lashon of chazon. Chazon Yishayahu, to have a vision, a nevuah. Nevuah is not something that's intellectual. It's not something that's scientific. Nevuah is something that's more creative. It's the ability to imagine something, to envision something. That's tefillah. It's in that world of imagination, the world of creativity. And Torah, of course, is the world of reality, the world of science, the world, the rules, and the structure, the organization. So there's some people, you know, who love learning, but they don't love Torah. They don't connect to the Torah. And at the extreme, the terrible extreme, it could be they're using this as an intellectual pursuit. It stimulates them intellectually, but they're not really connecting so much. So they're more cerebral. And then you have those who like to daven, those who have a koach tefillah. But they don't learn so well. They're not so matzliach in their learning. It's not so strong in the intellect. But they could connect to the tefillah. You have some people like that. The obligation of each one of us is to balance both, to have both Torah and tefillah. You'll see this theme throughout. We mentioned Rabbi Yochanan the other day several times. Lavai she'adam yisbal kol yom. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, represented tefillah, but he also represented Torah. He accomplished so much in Torah. It's finding a healthy balance between the creative aspect of Torah, which is tefillah, and the scientific aspect of Torah, which is Torah itself. And they both require work. They both require a lot of yigia, a lot of effort. They require tactics and strategy, how to excel. In yeshiva, we focus most on Torah. We don't focus so much on tefillah. So you have something really interesting that comes out. You know, Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come here to Hashem soon. He's going to announce the arrival of Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi represents the element of tefillah. Vaypalel Pinchas, it says in the pasuk, Pinchas, of course, became Eliyahu. Vaypalel is the lashon of tefillah. And Eliyahu is a Navi, Eliyahu Navi, the Nevuah, the Chazon. Tefillah is the world of the vision, the imagination we describe. Eliyahu Navi represents the Koach HaTefillah. That's Eliyahu Navi. Vaypalel Pinchas. And then you have Mashiach, who represents the world of Torah. Hilchas HaMashiach we have. Mashiach's going to pass in Shilas for us. Also a concept of Eliyahu as well, Teku, but it's a different type of psak. It's a psak api nevuah. The Hilchas HaMashiach, Mashiach's going to pass in Shilas. Mashiach represents the Torah. You have something really, really fascinating. You know, the Ummas HaOlam, the two largest nations that have caused this so many sorrows throughout the generations, Yishmael and Esav, Edom, each one tried taking something from us. One of these two different kochos, the two principles that are driving force, the Torah and the Tefillah. So Yishmael tried taking our day of Tefillah. What's the day of Tefillah? Yom HaKippurim. We daven five times a day, Yom Kippur. Only day we do that, five times a day. Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. And Musaf, we didn't get the Nila this month. Maybe next this month we could do Nila. But five times a day we daven on Yom Kippur. And what Yishmael did, they took that day and they daven, pray, whatever it is they do, five times a day, every day. They tried taking our Yom HaTefillah and trying to apply to there every single day. Five times a day they pray. And they bow down, what we do on Yom Kippur. They tried taking our holiest day, the greatest day of Tefillah. B'nai Esav, what do they try to do? They try taking our Torah. They tried making this second Bible. They tried contaminating our Torah. They tried taking the Torah, and Yishmael tried taking the Tefillah. That's what you have, you know, in the world of Yishmael, which is the world of Tefillah, the Koach HaTumah of Tefillah. So that's why you have, there's such a concept in their world of a prophet. They have such a prophet in their world, whatever that religion is, of Muhammad the prophet. They tried taking the Nevuah. The Nevuah and Tefillah goes hand in hand. That's what Yishmael tried taking, the Koach HaTumah of Tefillah. And Bnei Esav, who he says the Koach HaTorah B'Tumah, they have a concept of a Messiah, Mashiach, Hilchas LaMashiach. So we have these two worlds, the Koach HaTumah, trying to take both our Torah and our Tefillah. And Mashiach's not going to come. The Svarim talk about, you know, the end of time, Gog u'Magog, is when Yishmael and Esav work together. Ramchal talks about when they work together, coming to attack us together. And then we have to overcome both of them in both Torah and Tefillah. But just like there's this Mashiach and there's this Eliyahu on a global scale, there's the Mashiach, there's the Eliyahu, there's also a miniature. There's a Prat type of Eliyahu, Prat type of Mashiach. What does that mean? Shmuel Sadeshin has a fascinating Shaila. Shmuel Sadeshin, he wrote the Shailas to himself. The understanding was he asked Shailas and he answered his own Shailas. One of the Shailas he asks is, what happened with the Eishes Eliyahu? What was her status? Was Eishes Eliyahu, was she single now? Was she an almana? She wasn't a grusha. She wasn't divorced. Her husband Eliyahu just disappeared. He vanished. What's the status of his wife, Eishes Eliyahu? And he says, oh, if you're going to ask me, my nafkamina, my dahava, what happened, that happened, we don't really care. That happened several centuries ago. Why is that a question that Shmuel Sadeshin is asking in the 15th century or so? He says, because maybe someone else would be zocha to be like Eliyahu Navi. It's something that's within reach. Maybe someone would be zocha. Shmuel ben Levi apparently reached such a level. That means that Shmuel Sadeshin, in the question, he believes someone else can reach that level. It's such a concept. The Yishami talks about the Mesiyas Yisham talks about how a person should grow in his level from, you know, Chassidus and Kedusha and Tara, all that. There's a level called Eliyahu Navi. There's such a concept. And it's not an easy madrega to attain, but there's such a concept. It means everybody has a potential to be Eliyahu Navi. There's a little Eliyahu Navi that each of us could be. Not the Eliyahu Navi, he already exists. But we could be our Eliyahu Navi. That's such a concept of being our own Eliyahu Navi. And he ends up answering the question, like, what her status was. The Rav Chanan has a talks about the Shum Sadesh and Kedushin, just in terms of the Lamdas, you know, whether Misa is a Maisa Misa, or a Misa means just that he's the husband's not there. If you need a Maisa Misa, Eliyahu Navi never died. If you need a Misa means that he's no longer present, well, Eliyahu was no longer present. So that's what he debates, whether or not what the status was with Eliyahu Navi's wife. But either way, what comes out from the Shum Sadesh is that he believes that everyone has a potential to be Eliyahu Navi. And in terms of Mashiach, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin HaChelek talks about what's the name of Mashiach, and there's several suggestions what the name is. You go through that sugya, the Gemara talks about, I don't remember all the exact names, but Rabbi Yanai thought Mashiach's name will be Yanon Shemo. Sounds very similar to Yanai. And Rav Shilas thought that the name will be Shiloh, I think. In the few suggestions in that Gemara, it's either exactly the same name, the name Mashiach is exactly the same name as the person who's suggesting it, or if not the same, very similar to the name that's being suggested. Which indicates that there's a little Mashiach that each person could be also. Inside each person, there's a potential to be Mashiach, there's a potential to be Eliyahu Navi. There's a potential to accomplish great things in Torah, there's a potential to accomplish great things in Tefillah. And those are our role models, right? I know that's, you know, a tall order to ask for, but there's a potential that we all have to accomplish great things in both Torah and Tefillah. It's important that as you continue to grow in both these areas, to have role models. I mentioned this a little bit Friday night at the Tisch, that Rav Dessler explains that the singular way to defeat the Yetzer Hara is using the Koach HaDimyon, to fantasize, to have an imagination about what you want to accomplish in learning, what you want to know, what you want your Shabbos table to be like, what you want your family to be like, a B'nai Torah of learning. Just fantasize, just sit down and think, what do you want that to be? And have a goal, have an imagination of what that should be. And that helps push away the Yetzer Hara of trying to put other terrible things in one's mind. It also gives you a goal, hopefully a realistic goal, to strive for. To be that Mashiach, to be that Eliyahu Navi. It's incredible Maisa. I've been sharing a few different, I mentioned Reb Palm's biography, is a fantastic one. I shared in Yeshiva Shal Shiddush, you guys were not there. The Tasha Rebbe is another favorite biography of mine, fantastic. I shared a beautiful story, Shal Shudis. But another, perhaps top three, is Rav David Schrenk. His book was, biography was incredible. These are all good books I recommend for all you guys. I don't recommend Rav Yashua, I don't recommend Rav Batsheva Kanievsky. They're great biographies, but they're not healthy for you guys to read at your age yet. When you get older, more advanced, but they can be quite intimidating, quite scary. But Rav David Schrenk, right in the beginning of the biography, the article biography about him, talks about Maisa, about a boy in a very religious camp. It was Shabbos afternoon, and the boy walks into the bunk on Shabbos afternoon and flips on the lights and flips off the lights. And everybody was in utter shock, and the boy just laughed. Nobody knew what to do, how to respond. And they told the counselors, and the counselor sent the boy to the head counselor. And the head counselor said, I want to speak to you, Matzah Shabbos. They were having a special speaker that Matzah Shabbos, and after the speaker, I want you to come to my office. That Matzah Shabbos, they had a speaker. I don't know who it was. I don't know if it says who the speaker was. The speaker decided to talk about Rav David Schrenk. He had passed away recently. His petitioner was made within Shloshim. Rav David Schrenk had nothing to do with the camp that he was speaking at, but he felt he was such an inspiring individual personality, there was a lot to learn from him. So he spoke at Rav David Schrenk at the camp. He was telling all sorts of stories about him. Rav David Schrenk, if you don't know, he was a person who believed in every single student. He loved every single student. You know, they learned Kedushin one year, learning about Hagbah, lifting up an animal, lifting up an elephant, having an elephant jump up, Hagbah. Learning the sugars of Kinan Hagabah, he said, you see what the Gemara is saying? You could lift somebody up. You could akona someone. by lifting a person up, by lifting a Talmud up, a friend up, you could give him such a chizik in his life. Everything he learned was to give chizik to the boys. And one thing that struck me that I read, that in his yeshiva, he had yeshiva boys who were not matzliach in the mainstream yeshivas. And once a Hasidic Yid came to the yeshiva, he didn't know how to play basketball. Everybody else knew how to play basketball. He didn't know how to play basketball. He grew up in, I don't know, New Square. So David Trang took the boy outside and taught him how to play. He taught him the rules. This is inbounds, you know, double dribbling, traveling. He taught him how to pass. He taught him how to shoot. He spent time teaching the boy how to play basketball. So he was a special person. So after the speech was over in Camp Motzei Shabbos, the head counselor was incredibly inspired by Rav David Trank. The boy walks into his office, and the head counselor is trying to think, what would Rav David Trank do in this situation? What would he do? How would he act? How would he respond? And so the boy walks in, and the head counselor asks him, says, you know why you're here, right? He says, yeah, I know why I'm here. He says, you probably turned the lights on by accident, right? He says, yeah, exactly. It was a complete accident. Totally a mistake. And you probably laughed because you were a little bit uncomfortable, embarrassed, right? Precisely. That's exactly what happened. Okay, you could go back to your bunk. The boy's walking out of the office, and right before he leaves, he turns around and asks the head counselor, he says, you think you and I could have a chavrusa in Hilchos Shabbos? And he says, certainly. And that conversation could have went a very different direction. Most head counselors would have kicked him out with good reason. But he imagined what would David Trank do. Reminds me of another maisa. I spoke in Sternberg a few years ago. I know the owner of Sternberg, he davens in Eish. And I got there the Shabbos, he told me something similar. There was a girl who came to camp and she was doing things on Shabbos she shouldn't be doing also. And she had to be kicked out of camp. They didn't know what to do. She came from a difficult home and they weren't sure if they could send her back. It may not have been good for her. But they couldn't keep her in camp because what she was doing, what she was exposing other girls to. So in Camp Sternberg, there are many different divisions, not just like ages, but different types of girls and different missions within Camp Sternberg. And there's one division which is called, I don't remember what it's called now, but it's run by a lady from the Five Towns, Deborah Fliegelman, a woman who I know. And she runs a program where they bring girls to change, to be stronger, to be better, to be inspired. They do activities. And they have this ceremony at the beginning of the summer that everyone wears, puts on a necklace with a coin on it, which is change. Change as in coin change, but it represents, symbolizes change in a person's life. And each girl puts on this chain to, I'm ready to be a new person, I'm ready to change. Sunday morning, so this girl who's just got in trouble for whatever she was doing on Shabbos is walking down the path. No one knows what to do with her. And Deborah Fliegelman walks from behind her, takes one of these necklaces with a coin on it, puts it over her neck from behind, and says, now it's time for change. Now it's time for change, giving her another chance. And the owner of the camp, a good friend of mine, Dope Raquel, he said, that girl walked into camp with her bangs in her hair, a hoodie, dark, reserved, closed. And this moment that she did whatever she did, and then the opportunity to give her another chance, her hoodie was off from that point, her bangs were back in this bright face of happiness and simcha. That's what it means to find someone, a role model that you could look up to, whether it means the role model as a Rebbe, of David Trank, how to be a teacher. You imagine you're talking to your wife, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem, you get into an argument, how to respond, what would you do if Moshe Feinstein was standing there? Would you talk to her the way you would if Moshe Feinstein was there? The different techniques, how to overcome the Yetzer Hara, using tzaddikim, using friends, using Rebbeim as great role models. The idea is that we each have potential to reach Mashiach, we each have the potential to reach Eliyahu. Now, again, I do mean that, but like that's not happening, let's be honest, to any of us. But there's a track of Torah and there's a track of Tefillah. We have to continue to grow in each of those tracks. the Mashiach track and the Eliyahu track, the Torah track and the Tefillah track. And that's what's really going to bring the gula. It's a personal gula that we all go through to come out of our challenges, out of our weaknesses, and to become great in our own regard. And there's a grander one. So Sfarim point out that the Rashi tables of Eliyahu and Mashiach, the first letter is Aleph and Mem, Aim, Mother. A mother is what the person who finds the greatness of their children and nurtures the children, brings out their godless and the father as well, but a mother for the most part, Aim. So you have the Aim in Eliyahu Mashiach, you have Aim in Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam as well had those letters. And you have it also in the Purim story with Esther, Mordechai, Aleph Mem. Those are always the heroes we have. Yemirat Hashem, each one of us should grow both in Torah, both in Tefillah. We should find our own personal Mashiach, our own personal Eliyahu. Shibazocha to the ultimate, the big, the grand, the Tzibur Dika, Eliyahu Mashiach, with the Gula Shema Ba'amitas, M'hevri Amenu, Amen, V'Amen.